that today we get to meet the fourth of the five candidates to be music director of the Spokane Symphony, and that is Arthur Arnold. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Vern.
And welcome to Spokane. It sounds like you've been well integrated into our city already. First you drove here, right?
Absolutely. What a wonderful city.
Yeah.
And in this weather.
I mean,
what can you wish for more, right?
Yeah. Now I suppose there's a certain, you know, truth in advertising. It's not always this perfect. So
I didn't hear that.
Okay. No, every day, 365 days is just like this. There you go.
You know, it's about the sunshine inside,
yeah,
really, in the end.
Yeah, it certainly is, even though the external has been pretty nice, especially if you'd been here for the previous 3 weeks. But at any rate, here you are. But I want to know a little bit about your driving here, because in this jet-setting world, that's unique.
For me, it's not that unique, but it was a gorgeous, gorgeous drive. Down to Spokane
from
Powell River, British Columbia. So I have to take two ferries. We have there's the highway that goes all the way from Chile up through Powell River to Lund, and that's the end of the highway, or the Lundy say it's the beginning of the highway. And so I took that highway for a bit, and then I have to take two ferries. So it takes me 5 hours to get from Powell River to Vancouver only.
Sure.
Then I drove to the border. The border lineup was very long, so I drove to another border. I mean, you get warnings in advance. So I went to Abbotsford and crossed the border there, went into a beautiful region of Washington.
That's a great drive.
It's gorgeous. It's really gorgeous. Went into Bellingham, drove south, and made it as far as Ellensburg. Also a very gorgeous city. Stayed overnight in Ellensburg. And then the next morning, early morning, sun rays, some fog on the fields. I have a nice picture of that. I started continuing my drive, really relaxed, like 90 kilometers an hour. What is that, a mile 60 or so, you know? And on the cruise control and playing some gorgeous music, Beethoven string quartets, late string quartets by the Budapest Festival. Budapest String Quartet. And it was given to me by a lady from Las Vegas who found me via a YouTube video of me and the Moscow Symphony Orchestra, started to become Facebook friends, became a great supporter also of my festival in Powell River. And she's coming, actually arriving today in Spokane to come to the concert, all the way from Las Vegas. But that aside, I drove there with Beethoven, gorgeous music playing. And then I saw a sign, I forget the name, but Petrified Forest near Columbia River.
Oh, yeah, the dinosaur stuff there, yeah.
And I went up there and had a gorgeous morning walk. And then I made my way into Spokane, where I had been before. Last year in April, I also took out a drive. When I heard I was one of the five finalists, I couldn't help myself. I was so excited. I had to go to Spokane and check it out and hear and listen to the orchestra. So I had a few free days in April and drove down. Then that's the time when I went over the pass through Leavenworth. But this time of year, I thought I didn't want to risk it. I had to be here in time, right? Yeah. So anyway, normally it's a one-day drive, but again, with the ferries, you never know. So that's why I took 2 days. But you say it's unique, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and, you know, everybody flies, and they're all living in on the sordid streets of New York, and then flying to here, and that sort of thing. And here you are. So you have a festival in Powell River.
Yeah, that's correct. This is the Prisma Festival, Pacific Region International Summer Music Academy, and the Prisma Festival is now in its seventh year. And we get students, music students from all over the world, a very high level. There's quite a bit of competition to get in, to be part of Prisma, to play in the orchestra, get lessons, get. We have an in-depth audition training, so we help these students to prepare and get ready for their auditions and really to get ready to win a job. So we'll have mock auditions behind the screen, and we put half of the students on the other side of the screen so they can experience how do you actually listen on the other side, and it teaches them a lot. And then we have great symphonic concerts. This year we'll do Mahler 4 with a beautiful soprano, and we'll do Till Eulenspiegel's Lustige Streiche, and we'll do Shostakovich 10. And last year we did Rite of Spring, and the biggest orchestra ever we had because of the piece, of course. With some wonderful players. And we have guest artists from all over the world, from the great orchestras, Concertgebouw Orchestra. We had last year the principal viola from Berlin Philharmonic. Also people from Los Angeles, Concertmaster Los Angeles Philharmonic. Martin Chalifour.
He's a lovely man.
Oh, yes.
Great guy.
And a great teacher.
Yeah, certainly.
And musician, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played some Bach at the festival. That was just so gorgeous. And then we have the concertmaster of Montreal Symphony Orchestra and the principal clarinet and some people from Vancouver and Victoria Symphony Orchestras. So we have the nice thing about this is that people from Europe and North America mix there in the chamber music concerts they do. And so there's a mix of knowledge also available for the students.
Nice.
And this year we're going to add something really interesting, and I'm not allowed to call it this, but I'm still calling it this. I call it speed dating the guest artists. And what it's going to be is there's all these round tables, and we'll have one guest artist at one table with one subject to talk about, and the students can pick one table, and there might be 8 or 10 places at one table. So they have to pick and choose their table, and then after 15, and they have to talk about this subject, and the guest artist is leading the conversation, and the students will learn from each other, from the guest artist, get to know each other, and get to know all the guest artists. And after 15 minutes, the bell rings, and they have to choose another table. And they have to move. So we got a grant for this, actually. So that's also very nice, that support, that financial support. So that's an addition, and it's going to be wonderful.
Nice. So there's that lovely festival you have in Powell River, BC. And then my stock question that you've implicitly answered partially already, but what's the attraction of Spokane and the Spokane Symphony to you?
So when I read about the conductor search, the first thing I did, I went to Google Maps and typed in Spokane, and it zooms in to the city center. And I slowly zoomed out to see where is the water, where are the mountains. And pretty close, it started pretty close to Spokane, and not just one lake, but a lot of them. So that box was ticked. Boom. And then I did, of course, my research about the orchestra. And I'm someone who loves the smaller city. I live in a village in Holland. I live in a village in Canada. My wife and I divide our time between the two countries. And, of course, as a music director of Moscow Symphony Orchestra, I work in a big city. But I'm more like the smaller town guy. I enjoy knowing people personally and being part of a community, and that's what I enjoy about Powell River so much. I know the community, they know me. I feel very much at home there, and I get that same feeling here in Spokane. And then there's this lovely and incredible symphony. I mean, you guys have an incredible symphony here. For a town this size to have this level of playing is exceptional. So it's a real gem. And I told you I came here in April and came to two concerts and a few rehearsals, and I thought, yeah, this is it. This is my place. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to move to. Yeah. And 20% chance, 5 candidates.
There you go. Well, that's really great that you did kind of sneak in on your own and see it without anybody biasing you or anything. You just walk into town anonymously and encounter it that way.
Yeah.
And then when you came to town this week, of course, you've been gone through a whole bunch of very specific things, including to kind of make this all equal the way we view everybody. But you said that one of the things you did, you caught the youth orchestra concert last Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell about how that, what you learn about a town from doing that.
So when I arrived there, and I, first of all, there's these hundreds of kids running around. It looks like an ant's nest of kids with instruments. And there was this incredible energy. And then I heard these ensembles play and with their different conductors. And some of them I had met before from my first visit. And it brought back my own memories of how great it is to play, to be involved at that age in music and go through the ranks. And again here, what you have here for music education is quite exceptional. Like there's four youth orchestras. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. I mean, this is 220,000 people in the city. That's not big. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. That's so amazing. And then the sparkle that they play with. So it brought me back to my own first experience in an orchestra. And I just started to learn to play the cello. And on the cello you have a position when you are high up near the scroll with your hands, mm-hmm. that you have to spread between your first and second finger really far, because now you can reach a whole tone. And from where you have on the A string normally a B, by stretching back you get half a tone lower to a B flat. And that was really hard for me. I just learned it. And that piece started on a B flat. So my gears were turning. Okay, where is this? And I remember that the conductor, you know, made the upbeat and the orchestra played and I played. And there was this incredible sound, this harmony. To this day, and that's probably 45 year plus later, I remember this moment as, wow, amazing. This is, it got me hooked.
Yeah. And where was that?
That was in a little town in Bussum. I was born in Naarden. And Naarden and Bussum are two little towns connected to each other. Naarden is an old star town, old medieval star town. Bussum is the piece, part that grew later. And it was there, very close to Amsterdam, just the outskirts of Amsterdam.
Wow. And, and for those of us that have so many kind of senses of romance about the aspect of music in the Netherlands and the great tradition and all of the things we used to get from Radio Nederland and the imaginative music making and things like that. Did that culture just, you know, beyond the lovely story you just told about that orchestra, was there a lot about the fullness of a civilization that formed you?
Yeah, you know, I just told you that Naarden and Bussum are just outside Amsterdam. So the moment I could travel alone by train, when I was probably 13 or 14, I would use my pocket money to buy a ticket on the train to go to Amsterdam. Mm. And then I didn't have enough money to pay for the concert, but I actually went quite often to rehearsal of the of the Concertgebouw Orchestra. Mm. And they were so kind there, and also the conductor was okay, that I sat between the horns. And you, as a horn player, know exactly where I was in the orchestra.
It's the best place to view everything.
It totally. And I saw the conductors at work, right? Mm-hmm. And then by that time the guys at the stage door knew me, so they would also let me in for the concerts. And so when I had enough pocket money, I would go to Amsterdam and sneak into the Concertgebouw and hear some great music. But the radio orchestras that you just mentioned, they are in Hilversum, and that's like I went to school in Hilversum. Mm. I could go there by bike. So there's some. The first professional orchestra I played in as a cellist was the Radio Symphony Orchestra.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, great legacy. Yeah. Of that. I'm spending time with Arthur Arnold, who is the conductor candidate in town for the Spokane Symphony, and all of the many things that are going to go on. We're going to eventually focus on maybe what we were supposed to talk about. But
oh, really?
Oh, I don't know. No, maybe not.
We'll just let it flow like music.
But as long as you mentioned that first experience in the youth orchestra, and this is a little inconvenient because it's in the other room, but you have your cello with you. And so would you care to just go to the other room? You said that you were, since you heard the opening of the Elgar Cello Concerto with the youth orchestra soloist, maybe just sit there and the microphones will hear whatever you want to say, and just say a little bit and play a little bit from your cello about about whatever you want to do relative to the Elgar?
It sounds like I'm becoming a jazz musician and I can improvise there.
You can do whatever you like.
Well, if you put your hand down, I'll stop, okay?
Okay, perfect. Okay.
We have till when? No, just kidding.
Oh, till your rehearsal tonight. Arthur Arnold, going into the other room, going to grab his cello that he's had along with him as he's made this driving trip from Powell River, British Columbia, to Spokane. And now he's in the other room, and he has a cello, and so he's going to, from his cello, illuminate some things for us right now.
So I have no idea, ladies and gentlemen, what Vern just said. So I'm here in the dark, not literally, but this is my chance to talk to you uninterruptedly, and it is so amazing to be here in Spokane. And to hear those orchestras, I told you already a little bit about it, to hear those orchestras play, it's just heartwarming. If you ever have a chance to see or hear them, you should come. It will just lift your spirit. And there were three music directors, that's not what I want to say. There were three finalists in the concerto competition. And those three finalists, that was a violinist, a horn player, and a cellist, they played with the orchestra, incredible level, like for their age, wow. And the cellist played the Elgar cello concerto first movement and the very end of the last movement. It was very smart how they did it. And I thought, here's my cello. I thought, why don't I play for you that very opening of the Elgar cello concerto? And you know what's so exciting about live music? You never know how it will be. And I told yesterday on the radio, it is like a sports game. You know, you don't know who's going to score. You don't know who's going to win. And in live music, it's the same. You don't know if I'm going to make a big mistake or not. You don't know if my strings will break or not. You don't know if I will get a blackout and just don't know it anymore. So here is that very scary moment of live music. Been better, but no disasters.
Arthur Arnold, bravely going into the other room and just to try out a few things that we're doing here, of introducing several things, including certainly your, by virtue of being a cellist, and then all the great stories you were telling about watching the conductors of the Concertgebouw and all of that, I can easily project that, therefore, as a conductor, you have that orchestral musician sense of what's going on and how they're living, and talk about all of that.
It's very true. I played for many years in the Netherlands Philharmonic Orchestra, and we did opera and lots of concerts in the Concertgebouw. As a matter of fact, we played more concerts in the Concertgebouw than the Concertgebouw Orchestra, because they were on tour, etc. I always would bring my score to the rehearsals, and they allowed me to have an extra chair next to me, and I would follow the rehearsal, of course, as a conductor, very intimately and very passionately. So I learned a lot about playing in the orchestra. I learned what works, and I learned what doesn't work. So I don't think there could be a better school of learning how to conduct. But talking about that, I also learned so much from the late Hans Vonk. Have you heard of Hans Vonk?
Yeah, well, he briefly conducted, wasn't it, the Milwaukee Symphony or American orchestra?
No, that was Edo de Waard, I think.
No, I know Edo de Waard, too. No, Hans Vonk conducted some American orchestra.
Well, he
did
St. Louis. He was music director of St. Louis for quite a few years.
There you go, okay.
And that was, for him, the highlight of his career, he had often said. But so I got to know Hans Vonk through the Netherlands Philharmonic Orchestra, there is also the Netherlands Chamber Orchestra as part of the same organization. And I was already conducting and went to a master class in the UK in 1997, where we would do Don Giovanni. Mm-hmm. And Hans was doing Don Giovanni that June, just before a month or two before I had to go to the UK, with the Netherlands Chamber Orchestra. So I asked him, can I come to the rehearsals? And I had never met him before. And everybody told me, like, he's a nasty man. He is like, you have to be scared of him. And he's, you know. And I asked him, can I come sit in the rehearsals? He said, of course. And you know, in the same intermission, the first intermission, he said, come with me. Come to the conductor's room. Let's talk about the music. And he was so open. He was not a nasty man at all. Mm. He was the opposite. And there was such a click that it started a cooperation. I became his assistant for many years, and that led into, you might know that Hans Swan got sick and got ALS, Lou Gehrig, and it was very tragic. His muscles started to fade, and in the end he could only conduct from the wheelchair with his elbows on an arm pad, and I made them extra wide on his pretty handy, so I made these extra wide soft arm pads on his wheelchair so he could lean his elbows. And in the end, he was basically conducting with his eyes only, and with a little bit of hand that was curled up, his fingers were curled up, and he had no control anymore, but he controlled the whole orchestra with his mind, with his breathing. And I went with him everywhere. I pushed the wheelchair, I drove the car, we went everywhere together. I had to help him drink and eat. And you know, we were sitting there one concert in Utrecht, in the Vredenburg Concert Hall, Utrecht, where the shooting just happened, as we heard on the news. And Hans, there was live, it was radio orchestra, it was live radio like this is. And we had a pianist, a famous pianist, whose name I will not mention here. And it was Brahms' pam 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 concerto, and Hans had this good tempo that was also in the rehearsals. The 1 2 3 4 fox stop yadam, pa pa the other. You know, there was a speed to it. Everything flowed, and the soloist comes in, pia da 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 da. Had nothing to do with what we did in the rehearsals or whatever, and Hans started swearing. He said, Godverdomme. I said, Hans, quiet. We're on live radio. and he was like, I'll get him back. You know, it was this one of these moments. But this was just a nice story. But you know, I sat there next to such an incredible conductor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't learn from his arm waving. There was nothing left. But I learned from his breathing, from being there in that energy with him, and observing the orchestra that was totally in full concentration, tuned in to what was happening. And the orchestra played so beautiful, so together. It was a miracle. This was, for me, an incredible learning experience.
Isn't that what every one of us conductors needs to learn, what we don't need to do?
Yeah, absolutely. And rule number one is really don't disturb.
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of the Hippocratic oath of conducting.
Yeah, absolutely.